Paul gave his testimony, 1 Corinthians 15. Let's read those grouping of verses. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised on the third day. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, but because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. Someone has said this: the cross is the payment, the resurrection is the proof. And Paul is saying that Jesus died, he was buried, and raised the third day. That's why we are here celebrating. But here's what he goes on to say. He says he's the least of the apostles, and he says he does not deserve to even be called an apostle. And there's a reason for that. He persecuted the church before he had a turnaround experience. He had a bad past. He approved of Christians being murdered or killed. He was not a nice guy. God got a hold of him and changed him. Now, here's the secret as it applies to all of us. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. I was at the jail Friday. We went to four different pods, had four different services with the people there, and used some of these same verses. And I shared the thought, the only way forward is grace. The same is true for us. We may not be in jail, and they're great people, they're good people, but some make bad choices. And the only way forward for any of us is this thing called grace. And it's because of that grace we can somehow get through life and, like Paul, have a turnaround, and the last part of our life is lived in a different way than the first part. He said this: grace in my life was not without effect. He took advantage of it. Let me stop here. If you're in life at a place where you're stuck or struggling, you know what the only way forward is? It's grace. Don't let it be without effect. As a matter of fact, take advantage of it. Make it your own. Claim it. Say, God, I need help to get past whatever it is so that I can live a life that's different than I lived before. It's all about grace. All right. We've got a short video we're going to introduce in just a minute. I'll have Jake play that in a moment. But let me tell you what I want to speak on the next three Sundays. As we think about Easter, let it change you today, I want to talk about how you view your past. That's our theme for the day. We'll get to that in just a minute. Secondly, next week, I want to talk about how you view your future. Week three is how you view your present. And week four, how you view your destiny going forward. You know why? It's all about grace. So we're going to watch a two-minute video clip, and then we're going to get into the topic of... And because of that, he said, I am focusing on forgetting and putting things behind me to strain towards what's ahead. Today, if that's you, this message is for you. And I read a story about Lucy and Charlie Brown. And it's a great story. And Lucy is explaining to Charlie Brown why she lost sight of a baseball and failed to make the catch. Here's what she said. Sorry, I missed that easy fly ball, manager. Got in my eyes. Jesus has a message for us. He wants to help us with that. You may be here today and the past gets in your eyes. So much so it can literally disarm or disable us. And it can drain us of energy and focus. The past can get in our eyes. And so what I want to do today is share with you three simple thoughts of what, regarding your past, what Jesus is ready to do for you. Because Easter, it changes everything. And especially, he wants us to have a healthy view of our past. In your notes, the first of the three is this. Regarding your past, Jesus is ready to forgive you. He's ready to forgive. Somebody, or all of us, let's read it together. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Here's what it's saying. It's a great promise of the Scriptures. If any person is willing to own their wrongdoing and they confess it, confess means to come into agreement with God. You own it. He is willing to literally be faithful and just and forgive us. What's the word forgive mean? To be released from the penalty of it. Do we deserve it? No. Are we worthy of it? No. But grace, as with Paul, made it all possible for it to happen. So he says, hey, if anybody confesses and repents, turned from certain behaviors, action, God will forgive us. The human heart is not right within until it experiences the forgiveness of God through grace. We'll never be settled. But Christ came to make provision for that. The sermon, or the verse on the back side of your sermon listening guide, let's read it. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. I love this verse. You know, when the sun comes up and then it goes down, how far is the east from the west? I don't know. You can't measure it. It's vast. But God is a transgressions remover. And He literally will remove things as far as the east is from the west. That is an amazing promise and truth to meditate on. God, here's my mess. Here it is. But You will remove it from me as far as the east is from the west. Let's read Romans 5:20 in your notes. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. As I mentioned, I was up at the jail last Friday and talking to different folks, and we were talking about this verse. And I said, what do you think it means? And there were some great answers. And I want you to think, it says where sin abounded. I want you to think sin is this level right here. It's a pile. Sin is about this high, and it's a pile of stuff. And this verse says this. If sin is right here, that level, grace abounded more. It's up here. It overpowers the sin pile. It's bigger. It's stronger. It's just available in a greater quantity. And so God says that through Christ, the death and resurrection, that, hey, where sin made a mess and has a pile, grace was higher. Grace was more abundant. Grace was more available. That's who God is. So whatever your pile is today, understand that grace is bigger. It's more available. God supersized it. And it can take care of the sin pile. Now, I want to share with you three directions of forgiveness. It's one of my favorite topics. Through the years, I've had to deal with this myself, but I just enjoy teaching on it. Three directions of forgiveness. Number one is forgiveness from God Himself. This is what I call the upward. This is between your heart and God. It's getting clear with Him. Every person here needs to answer that question, where do I stand with God? And it's just a heart connection with God Himself. We have to receive it. We don't earn it. We just have to confess it. We receive it into our life. So this is the one-to-one upward connection. Of all the three I'm talking about today, this one's the most important. Because you and I want to get connected with God and have a clear heart with God. How do we get there? We receive His forgiveness. Letter B. The second direction of forgiveness is this. It's forgiveness toward yourself. Now, this is different than forgiveness from God. So up at the jail, I asked the question, is anybody here angry with themselves? And different people raise their hand. And the truth is, if I were to ask that question here today, I think some people would say, I'm angry with myself. You know why? Because of our pile. The sin pile of our past. The mistakes or bad decisions. There's just a mound of it. And forgiveness toward yourself is something that only you can resolve. So we were talking about, well, you can get forgiveness from God, but can you not forgive yourself? And the answer is yes. People say, I'm forgiven by God, but they've never forgiven themselves. And forgiving oneself is one of the greatest, most difficult things to deal with in life. It's just human nature. But here's the secret. If God is willing to forgive you, he gives you the permission and authority to forgive yourself. And if you don't do it, you say, well, I'm sorry. Thank you, God, for forgiving me, but I just feel really mad about what I did. I'm embarrassed. It's humiliating. Listen closely. You are overpowering what God wants to do in your life. In other words, you become a God to yourself and say, I'm not going to forgive myself, even though God has forgiven me. And we can outvote God if we are unwilling to forgive ourselves. Now, understand, we don't take it lightly or casually. We learn from the lesson, but here's the secret. Jesus said you need to learn to love God with all your heart, your neighbor as yourself. We have to learn to love ourselves. And you know what that means? If God forgave me, I need to forgive myself. I need to learn to let go. I need to learn to be gentler with myself. It takes time, can take years. But we need to learn to love ourselves. You may be here today, and the biggest challenge of your life is trying to forgive yourself. There's a message here. It's called grace. And if God forgives you through his grace, he's asking you to do the same thing toward yourself. Letter C. The third direction of forgiveness is this. It's forgiveness toward others. The first one is upward. The second one was inward. The third direction is outward. You may be here today. And someone either betrayed you, hurt you, wounded you sometime in the past. Happens to us all. How we deal with that offendedness is a big deal. Because Jesus said, hey, I will forgive you. I want you to forgive yourself, but you got to forgive others. Now, we learn from it. We get smarter and wiser. We don't let people run over us. But here's the secret. Once we forgive that other person, we receive it first from God, forgive ourselves, forgive others, it frees us up on the inside. And if in any one of these three directions, if there's something clogging the system where I haven't got this forgiveness thing worked into my vertical relationship with God or toward myself or to others, here's what happens. We become stuck. We're just stalled out. Oh, people look at us from the outside in and we look good. But on the inside, there's something that's not quite right. And what's not quite right is we haven't worked forgiveness into one of these three directions. Last Thursday, we had our Maundy Thursday service here at the church and we did communion together. This was verse, the next one was part of it. It says, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. We're going to do a little experiment here. I'm going to give you 5 seconds. You've probably heard this verse before. God says, if we confess our sins and turn from them, he will remember them no more. How can that be? Is that like too good to be true? I mean, God says he'll forget them. I still remember them, but he says he'll forget them. And so for the next 5 seconds, we're going to take 5 seconds of silence. I want you to think in your mind that if you confessed your sins, if you've come clean with God and you're living in relationship with him, he says he remembers them no more. And I want you to think like that. Go. It's an amazing thought that God would remember my sins no more. But that's what he says he'll do. We have to believe it and make it our own. Here's a quote I'll have Jake put up. "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." That's the truth. Until we find our connection with God and we learn to love and forgive ourselves and love and forgive others, our hearts will not be at peace. But when we figure that out, we're in a good place. That's what Jesus died for us to experience. So number one, regarding your past, Jesus is ready to forgive you. We just have to receive it. Number two, the second thing he's ready to do is he wants to heal you. Heal you. Read with me Jeremiah 30:17. "But I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord." Amazing passage. In the preceding verses, the people have forgot about God. They've walked away from him. And you know what happened? They got in a world of hurt. They were wounded people. They were discouraged. And all of a sudden, they somehow heard God's voice calling them back. And here's the great promise. "I will restore you to health and heal your wounds." Now, the word health, or the word heal, I should say, it's wholesomeness. It's feeling whole on the inside. God calls us to that. He wants us to feel good about who we are on the inside. And then he says, "I will heal your wounds." Let me stop there. I want to talk about your woundedness. It's when somebody in the past did something or said something, betrayed us, a friend. Maybe it's some comment somebody made, rather sarcastically, that cut deep into your heart. It could be a lot of stuff. You know what the end result is? Woundedness. And when we think of the resurrection of Christ, understand he wants to help heal you of your woundedness. Now in Isaiah, it says, "By his stripes, Christ's stripes, we are healed." There's a healing grace for woundedness. Now there's a big reason for it. Jake put this up. Woundedness becomes an emotional leak in our spirit. Isn't that true? We get up in the morning, and if we're wounded, we look at it. We feel like the energy is draining out. We work, go to work. We come home. We get up in the morning. And the leakage problem is because we're wounded on the inside. And God, through Christ, wants to bring healing and wholeness to our woundedness. He wants to heal the leaks that we have in our hearts. So be encouraged today. He wants to forgive. Secondly, he wants to heal. Number three. The third thing that Jesus is ready to do is he's ready to use your life, to use you. Read with me. Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." So great promise of Scripture. All things in my life, my mess ups of the past, God can recycle and make them work for good. That's an encouraging thought. Because he wants us to be purpose-driven to help other people. Here's a quote I'll have Jake put up. Give him your mess and let it become your message. In other words, when we surrender our sin pile, the mess of our life, he takes it and he changes us like he did Paul, and it becomes part of his message and ministry going forward. I came across a story about two musicians who attended a concert to hear a promising young soprano. After it was over, the one musician commented, "Did you catch the purity of her voice?" And the other musician responded, "Yes, but she will sing better once her heart is broken." You know who has the most encouraging voice in the world? Somebody whose heart has been broken. They've been wounded, but they found healing. And here's why it's so important. Dr. David Seaman, in his book, Healing for Damaged Emotions, says this. He says, people that go through something that is horrific and wounding, whatever it is, and when they find healing for it over time, they become a healed helper. A healed helper. You may be here today, and you are becoming a healed helper. What does that mean? You can speak into other people's lives that are going through it now because you've been through it. God wants to use your life. He won't waste your hurt. He just wants to take whatever we give him, and he can literally rework it for good, and we become healed helpers for other people. You know, I look out over the congregation. There's many healed helpers here. You know, I know what some people have gone through. And listen, they have the strongest voice, personal experience. It's a tool on their tool belt. It's in their toolbox. It's a utensil they pull out real quickly to encourage somebody else. Understand that's your mission in life going forward. Whatever you've been through, the pain you've endured, God won't waste it. He'll recycle it. He'll make it work for good. And you will become the voice to other people in helping them get through what you've been through. It's amazing what God will do through his grace, like what he did with Paul himself. So how do you view your past? Number one, Jesus is ready to forgive you. Number two, he's ready to heal you. Number three, he wants to use you going forward. Conclusion, John 1:12, let's read it together. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Here's what it's saying. You got to receive it. How do you get it into your life? Through a personal relationship with Christ. Here's the last quote I'll have Jake put up. Watchman Nee says this: our old history, our pile, ends with the cross. Our new history, being a healed helper, begins with the resurrection. Paul says, I'm going to take advantage of this thing called grace. I want a better ending than what I lived previous to that. Old history ends with the cross. New history begins with the resurrection. I'm going to close in prayer, and I'm just going to walk us through a few areas. I'd like for you to bow your heads, close your eyes. First prayer I want to lead us in prayer is this. I don't know if you've ever asked Jesus into your life. I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer to do that. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you love me. I confess I need you. I can't do this alone. Forgive me of my pile, all my sins. I believe that Jesus died and rose again for me, and he's alive forevermore. I open the door of my heart. and I invite Jesus into my life. May he be my Savior and my Lord from this day forward. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you prayed that for the first time, would you put your hand up and down? Anybody? Anybody pray that saying, you know, I want him in my life. Thank you. Anybody else? Father, we now think about forgiveness, and I pray you'll help us to receive your forgiveness in this moment. We just open our hearts. We surrender to you our past, and we claim a fresh start. Oh, Lord, there may be somebody here that needs to forgive themselves. So in the quietness of this moment, I pray you'll give them grace to release themselves from the anger toward themselves. Father, maybe there's somebody that has to forgive somebody else from something that was done in the past. It was wrong. But Lord, I pray that grace would be bestowed in this very moment, and they would make a decision, a choice, to let it go right now. If that's you, say, God, help me. I want to let it go. I'll forgive them. And now for anybody here that's in need of healing, of a wounded spirit, I want you to open your heart and say, God, I need your healing. Here it is. It's a wound. I'm hurting. I'm leaking energy and life from the wound. Let him draw close right now and bring healing to your spirit. And lastly, offer yourself to God and say, God, I want to be a healed helper to other people. Just offer yourself. Bring people into my life that I can speak encouragement and hope into theirs. Father, we love you on this Easter Sunday morning. We want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection, power to forgive, power of healing, and the power of being used by you to help other people. Father, we celebrate that amazing truth today, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside us. In your name we pray, amen.